Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cycling Day in Extra Channel and the podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about Tirreno Adriatico. You remember that I talked about Paris-Nice with Ewan, and today we're talking with our new cycling creator, that is Patrick, and also one third of the Echelon Cycling podcast, of course, as well. But yeah, Patrick, Tirreno Adriatico, the race of the two seas. I like this race. Do you like this race?
I love this race. I love the, I think sometimes when there's like Paris-Nice and Tirreno on, some people I think tend to like kind of gravitate towards Paris-Nice perhaps a little bit, especially this year with the Pogačar-Vingegaard battle going on. But I think Tirreno's putting up a good fight this year with some really solid punchers like Wout van Aert, Van der Poel, Pidcock, Binnie, Alaphilippe. So I think it's a real strong start list, and I can't wait. I think that Tirreno's really hit the mark with quite a lot of varied terrain, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the race is going to throw out, especially if the weather gets a little bit wet and a little bit cold. It can produce some of the most exciting racing of the year.
So we might as well jump into it. The route, we always have this kind of flat opening time trial for the most part, or the flat time trial at the finish. We don't have a time trial at the finish. And what do you kind of make of this route this year?
Well, flat, I guess, is the first thing, and untechnical as well. It's a very classic Tirreno sort of time trial, just over 11 kilometers long, so you won't see massive differences in GC, but we've got some really good time trialists here, like, of course, Ganna is here. He's the favorite. He usually takes a victory here in Tirreno in the TT. However, he only finished in third place in the Algarve, so perhaps there's a few questions about how he's going, but I'm sure that a flying Van der Poel, Wout van Aert, Tiesj Benoten, maybe even Dylan van Baarle could put up some really stiff competition towards Ganna, who I think will be the heavy favourite going into this stage. And I don't think there'll be massive time gaps in GC. I think it'll be quite hard for a GC rider to lose that much time to each other. So I'm expecting, 10 seconds here, 20 seconds there. It won't be enough to decide GC. I think that it's just going to be a nice sort of opener for people to get their teeth sunk into Tirreno Adriatico 2023. And then stage two is going to be a sprint stage. There's a couple of hills throughout the day, but certainly not enough to really disrupt any of the sprinters. Stage three is also going to be a sprint stage. Again, a similar level of hilliness, and we're going to probably see some of the top sprinters like Jakobsen, like Binnie, Mark Cavendish is going to come here, Jasper Philipsen, of course, Jordi Meyers too. So we've got some really strong sprinters here. Of course, the star list isn't fully complete yet, so we don't know relative sort of lead out strengths, but it's certainly got a couple of good sprinters here. I think Jakobsen will be looking to try and really find some good form after having a couple of races where he hasn't been on flying form. Stage four finishes up the Tortoleto climb, which is, it says it's 4.4 kilometers at 4.5%. However, the first kilometer is really steep, averaging over roughly 10% with a pitch of 19%. Then it actually goes downhill for 2 kilometers and then climbs up again at about 7% for another 2 kilometers. So a bit of what people would call a fake news climb, and they do that multiple times up to a finish. So a great opportunity for, in my eyes, a Van der Poel to really take advantage. Stage five is the main GC focus with the hilltop finish up the Sannazzaro Sassetto climb, which is 13.1 kilometers at 7.4%. It levels off a little bit in the last few kilometers, and there's a maximum gradient of 14% on this climb. So this is going to be the main GC battle of the week. Of course, we've got guys like Alexander Vlasov, Jai Hindley, Timon Lensman, Geraint Thomas, Wilco Kelderman, and also pretty much the whole of the UAE squad who could do well here with McNulty, Yates, Jay Vine, and Joao Almeida. They provide really the big GC focus in my eyes in this race. Stage six, I think, will be the one which people will be wanting to tune in for. It reminds me a lot, actually, of the 2021 stage five, which is what Van der Poel won in those torrential conditions ahead of Tadej Pogačar and Wout van Aert. There were huge gaps there. This is really up and down, short, sharp climbs, perfect for the huge array of punchers that we have in this race. And then stage seven will finish off with a nice flat sprint once again to round off Tirreno Adriatico 2023.
Yeah, anyway, like you said, it's a very interesting route. And well, let's just start with UAE, because you highlighted that quite a lot. Yeah. Very, very strong team. And yeah, do you think this is the team to look towards in terms of the GC battle? Is it them? Well, is everyone trying to play catch up with them?
Yeah, I think realistically UAE is the strongest team in this race. However, they could suffer from their own success in a way, because they have so many contenders. Like, they realistically, Jay Vine, Adam Yates, McNulty, and João Almeida could all be leaders for this team. And it's sort of who fulfills into a domestique role, because that will be down to Covey, Formolo and Ulissi, who, although have been domestiques in the past, could certainly have their own opportunities on a day. So I think it would be difficult for UAE to really balance how they're going to do. I think trying to pick a name out of them is quite difficult. I'd say that perhaps Adam Yates, considering how good he was looking at the UAE tour, bar his time that he lost in the crosswinds, would be the guy who I'd be looking towards UAE to be kind of spearheading their charge. But it could really be any of them. And, you know, you could really kind of flip a four-sided coin and see which side it lands on, pretty much. But, you know, there are some other strong teams here. I think that Ineos is certainly worth a mention, with Geraint Thomas and Tymon Lensman. Those are stronger time trialists, I think, than some of the UAE riders. So they might gain a couple of seconds more in that opening TT. Do you reckon that's about right?
Yeah, I think you're right. And yeah, but it is like the Tirreno Adriatico. It's kind of before, like years gone by, when it wasn't just like Jumbo-Visma turning up to the races they target. This was kind of the preparation race, or one of them, to get ready for the Giro d'Italia. And we've got plenty of the Giro d'Italia competitors in the field as well. Well, Jad Hindley's not going there. Alexander Blazov, I think, is going there. Geraint Thomas is going there, as we know. Tirren Arendsman, I think he is also going to be heading there. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think Ineos Grenadiers are never a team that you look away from, but I just think the might of UAE Team Emirates, like you said, their former ally of Adam Yates, could be frightening in this race. We saw what he did at the Jabila Hafid stage. Yeah, it was only a few seconds, but still dropping Remco in a one-week stage race. You haven't seen that much before this year. But Ineos Grenadiers, they have, like you said, a very... with Geraint Thomas and Tirren Arendsman, they're probably their GC riders. But Ghana has been looking very strong, despite you saying not in the time trial, but in San Juan, he was up there second on the stage that Miguel Angel Lopez won. And Pidcock as well, he took a stage in the Tour of Algarve. It's an interesting team, do you not think?
Yeah, I think that Ineos probably provides the strongest challenge to UAE. I think that, you know, Jumbo-Visma is also kind of up there. I think it depends how Kelderman's going. Of course, we've talked a lot on the Echelon podcast about Jumbo-Visma's ability to come off of these training camps incredibly strong, and people don't really know what form they're in, apart from the people who are really in the know in the team. So I think that it could certainly be a Kelderman who comes out there. But going back to Ineos, like, yeah, they have multiple options. Ghana, perhaps he's improving his climbing to be more of a more versatile domestique role during the Giro d'Italia. Perhaps Ineos see that as a bit of an option for them. But Pidcock, I think it'd be interesting to see how he goes on a longer climb. Of course, Algarve, he won that stage, which that was a more of a 2 kilometer 9% average. Let's see how he goes on a longer climb. Of course, I know that he's won a Pape d'Huez, but that was from a breakaway. I'd be more intrigued to see how he goes on a longer, more attritional climb like this. And perhaps, you know, we could get a bit more of a gauge as to how he would be as a GC rider. Of course, we saw his time trialing. Well, we saw his skills in Algarve, but they weren't necessarily the fastest way to get round the course, let's say. So I think it's intriguing. I don't think he'll lose too much time on the TT, so he could certainly claw it back, especially on that chaotic sixth stage. I reckon he could really do some damage.
I mean, speaking on the Echelon Cycling podcast, we also had a clip where we spoke exactly about Tom Pidcock's potential for a GC. So click up here, or whatever YouTubers say. But yeah, Jumbo-Visma, Kelderman. We've not really seen Kelderman in the Jumbo-Visma kit yet. He might just do Van Baarle and win the first race he does for them. But Wout van Aert, we know he's not going to Strada now. Yeah, we know he's sick and he's not on fighting form or whatever they said during his Tenerife camp. But Wout van Aert has, like, the 2021 edition was absolutely insane. He was winning a sprint. He won the time trial. He was up there in the climbs, dropping riders such as Nibali, Fuglsang. I think Egan Bernal he was climbing alongside. So up the Pranto di Tibo. So we might not see that Wout van Aert at this race, but I definitely think they're going to be in the mix as well here.
Yeah, Wout van Aert could probably contest every stage apart from maybe that stage five might be too hard. I think that certainly warrants them bringing Kelderman. And I think you're right, you know, Van Baarle came out of that training camp first stage, like, omloop, immediate win. Like, Kelderman could certainly do the same. Easy. Wout, I think, will contest. Like, will he contest the sprints? Is that sort of what he's wanting to do still? I'm predicting alongside a lot of people, very strong TT and a lot of good performances on the punchier stages. So stages 4 and 6 would certainly be more lined up for Wout van Aert. I think it's interesting because 2021, he was competing in the sprints to get bonus seconds so that he could fight for GC. I think that, you know, if he does well in those stage 2 and stage 3 sprints and gets some bonus seconds, maybe he'll be tempted to go for GC again alongside Kelderman. And yeah, like you say, Wout, of course, he said he's ill, but you never know with these guys. Sometimes it can just be a bit of smoke and mirrors. It can just be throwing up a bit of a red herring to try and throw you off. But so you never know. I have learned now I'm not trusting what Wout van Aert says sometimes because I've been burnt too many times by it now. And I've learned my lesson.
Reminiscing to 2021 as well, that edition. You had Wout van Aert, Mathieu van der Poel, and Julien Alaphilippe all like at the height of their powers going. I think they all took at least one stage. Alaphilippe managed to take a win, and they're all here as well. And then we throw in another punchy kind of climber, or not punchy rider, not really punchy puncher, but Biniam Girmay as well. We can't not mention Reyes' favorite son here. So yeah, how do you think that battle of this new quartet, Alaphilippe, we're not sure if he's on the height of his powers, Mathieu van der Poel, equally we don't know until Strada, but he's won his 5th cyclocross world championship title. Yeah, how do you think that's going
to
go?
Yeah, Binny, I expect to, very similar to Wout, I expect him to be contesting most of the stages. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Binny's great, but I don't think he's going to be winning the mountaintop finish. Like, just
get a, been in Eritrea though. He's been like in altitude, huge 2,400 meters. I don't know if that will.
There you go. But yeah, well, there you go. He might hang on for quite a long time. You never know. But I expect some cool things from Binny. I think that coming into the Cobble Classic season, it is right on our door. Well, it pretty much has started. We are walking into the door of the Cobble Classic season. Binny is going to be in flying form at the moment, considering that, yeah, we're very quickly going to be having, you know, the Ronde van Vlaanderen and Dwarsdoors, and of course Gent-Wevelgem, which he won last year. Those are a few weeks away, so it makes sense that Binny's going to be in really good form. And I think that these climbs on stages 4 and 6 are going to be really up his kind of street. I think they're hard, but they're not hard enough to drop Binny. He's very versatile, quite lightweight. Like we've said in the past, he's very much like the Sagan of old, and Sagan of old would be looking at a lot of these stages in Tirreno this year and be licking his lips, because I reckon that Sagan of, you know, the 2013, 14 era would be stomping all over these.
Apparently we made a video about that. Oh, wait, we did on this Echelon Cycling podcast. But yeah, no, I agree. But we saw with the Toro Valenciano where kind of he managed to stay with the pressure that was being put on by Byron Victorious. We haven't mentioned Byron Victorious either. Well, we can't just talk about Binny all the time, even though he's a really nice guy. And Eritrean, yeah, the Eritrean hope, you would say. But there are other riders as well. Movistar, Enric Mas, he showed his strong form against Tadej Pogačar earlier this month. And then, well, actually, earlier in February. And Thibaut Pinot as well, Valentin Madouas, Mark Cavendish, what do you expect from him? We haven't really talked about the sprinters game, but Fabio Jakobsen, who's disappointed you, he's here. There's a few big sprinters here, but none of the really inform ones that I can see.
Yeah, I think that was exactly the words that I was going to say, is that we've got a lot of good sprinters here who are in the top or the upper tiers of sprinters in the world, but none of them have quite hit the heights which we've perhaps expected of them. I think I was expecting more of Philipsen in the opening, like Omloop, for example. I think, yeah, like Jakobsen, like you say. But Cav, yeah, I mean, he finished 3rd in that opening stage in the UAE Tour. I know it was from a crosswind sort of stage, but there are a lot of really good sprinters in that first group. So I think that Cav is still looking in pretty good form. And he's also just got that nous about him where even if, for example, Astana don't have the strongest lead out here, he's very capable of switching strategy, switching onto somebody else's wheel and trying to nip them in a sprint. So I'm really looking forward. I think that it wouldn't be out of the question for Cav to win a stage here. I think that he is still a very fast sprinter, and I don't think that a weak lead out is going to hinder him too much.
Well, we were talking about this is the Giro d'Italia preparation for some teams, many teams. Well, we can't not mention Jide Hindley, who is the defending Giro d'Italia champion. Very strong team here on the provisional start list. Matteo Fabbro, Lena Kemner, the top 5 finisher last year at the Tour de France with Vlasov, and equally he won the Tour de Romandie. He also won the Tour of Valenciana, beating Remco Evenepoel. But Jide Hindley, really just known, well, that's not really fair, but like Jad Hindley, not really the best 1 week stage racer. He's shown his caliber in the two Giros he's podiumed. Yeah, what do you make of this team here, and who's going to be the leader?
Leader's difficult because for me, I'd probably be choosing Vlasov, but I think that mainly comes from my opinion that I think Vlasov is the better one-day racer of the two, and I think those capabilities are going to come in really handy on stage six, where it's up and down and chaotic throughout the whole stage. I think that Vlasov probably has a better ability to adapt and think on his feet. I think that Hindley is a lot better when it comes to the long alpine stuff. So Hindley is probably better for stage five, in my opinion, over Vlasov. But I think that Vlasov is a more well-rounded rider. I think he'll do better in a TT, which has been shown to be improving over the years. And I think that Hindley will do better on stage five. So I reckon it's definitely going to be a co-leadership. Of course, we don't know if Hindley's going to be hitting his top form right now, just because he is, of course, targeting the Tour de France. So Tirreno, is it just all part of his build-up towards the Tour? Whereas Vlasov is kind of going to be trying to do really well at the Giro, which is a bit sooner. So therefore, I think that he will be looking to try and gain a bit more confidence and a bit more experience being up there in the main GC nitty-gritty up on that stage five. So for me, I'm going to lean slightly towards a Vlasov leader over a Hindley, but I still think that Hindley should be coming top 10 in this race quite easily.
We're not going to talk about Bahrain Victorious because Miguel Landa, he's disappointing me every time I big him up. Every time he falls flat on his face, literally at the Giro a few years ago. But yeah, still a big fan, but he's not going to, he always disappoints me. So where better to go than our favorite part of the show, predictions. And yeah, Patrick, who is your top three for this year's Tirreno Adriatico? And we didn't even speak of the 2016 winner, Greg Van Avermaet. Yeah, remember that? That was a weird addition.
That was a weird addition. I completely forgot about that. That was a long time ago. Anyway, yes, my top three prediction. I am going to say that I think in third place will be Enric Mas. In second place will be Wilco Kelderman. And in first place will be Adam Yates. I think I'm keeping it fairly safe, but expecting big things from Kelderman coming off of that training camp with Jumbo-Visma's magic formula that they've got.
So I'm not going to back the Yates. I'm going to think Joao Almeida in third place, potentially, maybe, hopefully. Second place, I think it's going to be Wilco Kelderman, and the winner is going to be Alexander Vlasov.
But I mean, to be honest, I think Vlasov. If Vlasov wins Tirreno, there's going to be a lot of hype around him for doing really well at the Giro, for sure.
Why is Remco not here? I don't understand that.
I was going to say this earlier. I'm like, what? It's because he's too busy bathing in the sun of UAE. I don't know.
But anyways, that's it for our Tirreno Adriatico 2023 preview. Make sure to check out Patrick's channel, Odu Cycling, very close to 1,000 subscribers, so do give him a hand on that. And of course, we're going to do streams about, I think, Tirreno, but we'll definitely do recaps of each stage. So subscribe to the channel, and of course, as always, thank you for watching and have a nice day.